بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، I'm back in Metinegu Park. As you can see, the fall, autumn has started, and although the trees have not yet started changing color too much, you still see the green of summer, but you are now seeing a lot of leaf on the ground. So be waiting for the colors to change, and then let's see what happens. I am planning to go to the White Mountains and do a train ride with my very dear friend and brother over at Tien. His grandfather was my friend, and he's my friend. His father, of course, is my friend, but same name as his grandfather, Sheikh Awarak Tint. So, Omar and I are planning to go, inshallah, on the 20th of October to White Mountains and take the train right there to see the fallen colors. Inshallah, and I used to take some videos and send you. My brothers and sisters, what we are looking at here is the makhluk of Allah. This is makhluk looking at makhluk. I am the makhluk of Allah, and what I am looking at is also the makhluk of Allah. And if you see this makhluk of Allah, Jalla Shanuhu, we see that this operates according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for it and intends for it, happens. So when the time for fall comes, when the time for autumn comes, the trees don't say, you know, let's wait a bit. It's like too early now. Let some leaves stay for a little longer. Let me do some more photosynthesis. Let me try and create some more and accumulate some more starch for the winter, because winters are severe. The trees don't do all this. Time for fall comes, leaf falls. This incidentally is a mushroom of some kind. Many of them are good to eat, but of course I am not in the business of trying any of that, because some of them are highly poisonous, in which also there is a lesson for us, that appearances are deceptive. Things that look edible and nice are not necessarily edible and nice. And so we take precautions. We don't say Bismillah and eat it. All the people who eat machine slaughtered chickens and say Bismillah and eat should think about this. If you think that works, if you think that converts a haram into halal, try it with mushrooms, because if you die, this is for this world. But if you eat haram and digest it and live with it, then that is something to answer in the next world. So we need to get real with our deen, you know, seriously. So anyway, the point I want to make here is that everything works according to the hukum of Allah, according to the order of Allah, according to the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the trees for a purpose. They fulfill their purpose in the way and according to the timing of Allah, not in their own way, not according to whatever they think should be the timing, but according to the will of Allah. Of course, the trees have no choice in the matter. I'm just, you know, imagining this to make my point. The trees have no choice in the matter. They can't decide to shed leaf later or earlier. But with the ins and jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the choice to, and we exercise this choice. He gave us the ability to exercise this choice, and this is for the insan and the jinn. Now, I know a lot of human beings listen to my khatiras. I have no idea if the jinn listen to it also, but the thing applies to both of us, both the species that Allah created. I remind myself and you that the thing that fulfills its purpose is considered useful, is considered beneficial, and is rewarded. The thing that does not fulfill its purpose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first corrects it, and some of that correction can be very painful, which is what we are feeling now as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we still don't change our ways, if we still don't correct ourselves, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will end us and replace us. We ask Allah to save us from this, save us from being replaced. When I think of this, I really, you know, tell myself, just the other day, a young boy, he came and accepted Islam. So when he came and he said, I want to become Muslim, I said, why? He said, because I read about Islam and I really like what I'm, what I read. And believe me, I had never seen him before. Obviously, I did nothing to guide him to Islam. Absolutely nothing. I take no credit at all because I didn't do anything. I didn't even know he was there. So I said, how did you get to this? He said, I have a friend who prays. Now, this is the thing that we seem to forget. Simply the power of salah. You'll be surprised how many times I've heard this statement from people who have reverted, come back to Islam. And you ask them, why did you even think of this? Why did you even think of Islam? Because believe it or not, religion is not the topical thing nowadays. Not only Islam. People are not interested in religion. People don't want to talk about God. They don't want to talk about Allah. They don't want to talk about the Day of Judgment and the Akhirah and so on. Not that it changes anything, because just because you don't want to talk about something doesn't mean that thing goes away or that thing will happen differently. But this is the reality today, that people do not wish to speak about truly the matters that are of concern, truly the matters that are that we should be talking about. We don't. To have this young kid in America to come to the masjid and say, I want to become Muslim, was absolutely astonishing. I mean, I don't know what to say. So anyway, he accepted Islam, alhamdulillah, and teaching him what to do and so on. He comes almost every day, he comes for Isha Salah, because he's got school and various things in the daytime, but almost every day he comes for Isha Salah. And I'm saying almost because he can't drive, so he's got, I think, his parents or somebody who drive him here. And that's another big lesson for Muslims who live in countries like this, especially the United States. By and large, people are open to Islam. If the in any other place, if your teenage son or daughter decided to convert to Islam, they would freak out. But here they support it. They say, yeah, okay, this is his choice. And so therefore it is even more important to make sure that you present Islam. And you present Islam not by lectures or debates or, you know, clever tricks. We present Islam as it is, by living Islam, by showing people Islam, not with the intention of showing them, but by practicing it so it is seen by them. And that's what happened with this kid, because I asked him, how did you come to Islam? He said, I have a friend who prays. I've seen him pray. And I know when I see him praying, I'm seeing something remarkable. Now, imagine, this was a statement that the Quraysh made about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Think about the seerah. The Quraysh said about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he left Makkah to go away because he got tired of their persecution, and he was stopped by one of the tribal chiefs on the way, and the tribal chief asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm leaving Makkah. He said, why? Why is Abu Bakr leaving Makkah? He said, because people don't let me worship the way I want to worship. People are persecuting me for nothing. And I've got sick of it. I've had enough, so goodbye. So the man said, no, we can't have this. You're too important for us. We cannot have you just going away. So I will give you protection. So the man came with Abubakar Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. He brought his sons here. I can't remember, five or seven sons, and all of them wearing their armor and with their weapons. They came and he took him to the Kaaba and stood there and announced and said that this man is under my protection. So nobody will trouble him. So the chiefs of Quraysh, Abu Jahl and so on, they said to him, look, you can give protection, but we will accept that also, but we have a condition. So what's the condition? He said, he must not pray in a place where people can see him. He must not pray. He must not do salah in public. This man himself was perplexed. And he said, why should he not pray where people can see him? I mean, he said, I can understand if you say he must not present Islam to people, he must not make speeches, he must not talk to people about Islam. I mean, that can be understood, but he must not pray in a place where people can see him. I mean, what has his prayer got to do with it? They said his prayer has everything to do with it. Because people who see him pray, they become Muslim. They accept Islam. People who see him pray, accept Islam. Now imagine, this kid is coming and telling me this, not about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, but about one of his own colleagues. Another kid like him, high school kid. He said, I have seen him pray. And this brought him to Islam. Truly, we do not value our salah. We do not value the power of our salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put so much power in the salah that if you pray regularly and you pray with khushu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the hearts of people who even look at you. And imagine if Allah is changing the heart of somebody who looked at you, and surely Allah will change also your and my hearts. As I told you, my brothers and sisters, we have been created to obey Allah. Islam is the name of a relationship. And that relationship is a relationship of ubudiyyah, a relationship of obedience. Al-Islamu huwa ismu alaqa bayn al-abd hu bayn al-rab. فهو علاقة عبودية علاقة عبودية بين العبد وبين الرب. Islam is the name of a relationship, and it's a relationship of عبودية, of worship, of obedience, of submission. وإذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين. Allah said about Ibrahim عليه السلام, خليل الله, that his Rabb said to him, and Allah is talking about himself, his Rabb said to him, submit, and he said, I have submitted. He didn't say, let me think about it, I've got some questions, I need some clarifications, nothing. He said, submit. He said, I have submitted. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to help us to understand this and to become his ibad, his true slaves, so that we, when we meet him, we can be sure of his forgiveness. We can be sure of meeting him in a state where he is pleased with us. Because, my brothers and sisters, let me assure you, that is the only thing which matters. The only thing. Nothing else matters. The only thing which matters is Allah pleased with me or not? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us and join us and keep us with those who He is pleased with. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ